preview.
All right, episode 79. This is a historic one because we've got Minister Lewis from the Bahamas, Minister of Youth, Sport, and Culture, and this weekend is Bahamian Heritage Night at the ballpark.
Yep.
And we got Brad Johnson from the Marlins.
And
we got Sunless Martin.
Sunless Martin in the studio.
That's it. Super cool. So, Brad, what can fans, Marlins fans, expect this weekend? I know there's a T-shirt giveaway, but talk about what the Marlins are doing for this game this weekend at Lone Depot Park.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you guys so much. Hello to the minister. Thank you, Sunless. Thank you to the whole show, community newspaper out there, for having me on today. I am officially inviting everyone in South Florida and also the Bahamian people in the islands to come out for a Saturday, June 12th. Come early, stay loud. Come early, be loud, and stay late, because we are going to have the first inaugural Bahamian Heritage Day, and it is going to be a wonderful, wonderful event.
Hold on, we got the minister.
Yeah, we got
the minister. Can you hear us?
Give me a second.
All right, Minister Lewis, are you there?
He can't hear us.
We can hear him, though.
Yeah, we can hear him.
All right, let's go ahead.
All right, Brad, tell us more about
that. So I want you guys to come early. We're going to have a Junkanoo band playing all around the ballpark and the promenade. Awesome. We're going to be starting, our Junkanoo lines, and it's going to be great. We're going to have foods. Comforters will be available. We're going to be doing beef patties, other Jamaican and Caribbean delicacies at the change-up. We're going to be having an opportunity for us to have the Bahamian national anthem sung, and we're looking to have a Bahamian artist in Julian Believe, who is going to do the national anthem. And so we're really excited about that. Jazz is going to be in full effect, and this is really what this is about, guys. We're celebrating the fact that Jazz Chisholm Jr. is the first Bahamian-born player for the Miami Marlins to play in the seventh in Major League Baseball. And there's a significance in that, and one that I was saying to you guys earlier, Jazz personally has become the talk of the town and the talk of the league. And so that is a big thing that we're celebrating here. After the game, we hope that you stick around, because we are going to be doing the Miami Steel Band, and it is just going to be an opportunity for us to get out to the West Plaza on the stage, dance, have food, have a great time, and just enjoy the rich Bahamian culture that has really built South Florida.
Can I hear you guys?
Hey, Minister, how are you? We can hear you and see you, sir. And I hope to have Minister Lewis right next to me so we can cheer on Jazz as well.
Let me
turn
my computer.
Very good.
If you can email me the link to my Gmail, I'll try getting one from the computer.
All right, he's going to try to pop in.
He's going to try to pop on.
So, Brad, what are the chances on Saturday that Jazz's hair is blue, yellow, and black?
So that is something that I have been seeing on Twitter. There is a fan account, Jazz's Hair, and so there is a poll. So you got to go follow that account so we can try.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
I love it, Jazz's Hair. So before you go, last thing I was going to tell you is I've spent a lot of time in the Bahamas for work and personal time, and I'm a big Papa Smurf fan. So I'm expecting to hear I Am a Bahamian at some point through the stadium. Papa Smurf.
I was kind of thinking Jazz might be a backup singer for the national anthem too, since he's going to be on the field.
Well, we'll have to see if he grabs the mic. I think they actually do the national anthem right over there in the Budweiser bar area in the M section. So that's where that'll be. But I do want to say before I leave as well, please, if you still need tickets are now available. They were sold out yesterday. Let me give you guys a little background. We were expecting about 100 people for the first Heritage Day for the Bahamas, because most Heritage Days do about 100 tickets. We're at almost 2,000, guys.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's amazing.
And one of the great things about this is the tickets are only $18. You get a T-shirt, and it gives you the ability to participate in all those activities. Visit marlins.com/tickets/heritage. or you can call me personally at 305-480-1548. Again, that's 305-480-1548. And I look forward to seeing each and every one of you in the stands. Sunless will be there standing next to me smiling. Minister Lewis will be in the building. So if you're in the South Florida area, I will see you at Lone Depot Park this Saturday as Jazz Chisholm and 242 take on the world.
Hey, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Brad, man. We appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
We'll be promoting it through the rest of the week, and we'll be there on Saturday.
I hope so, guys. Thank you. Good to see you. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy.
All right, Brad. Take care, Brad. All right.
Minister, we're so happy to have you.
Oh,
I'm so happy to be on. Thank you for organizing this, Sunless. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Super awesome. So let's talk about some of the excitement that about baseball in the Bahamas now that we got Jazz Chisholm. Looks like he's going to be a perennial all-star here at Miami.
Oh, yes. But let me say, first of all, I'm extremely excited. I just went and I did my rapid antigen test to come over to the United States of America. I'm all negative. I'm good to come. I have my vaccination card. So it's just a lot of excitement in the air. When you talk about baseball right now, it is the buzzword in the Bahamas. We have the lineup of youngsters that will be following in the footsteps of Jazz Chisholm is just phenomenal. We have baseball teams right now in South Florida as we speak on tour playing games. So Jazz has created a buzz. We have a very, very live and effective junior program. So we expect to see a lot more Jazz Chisholm, but right now he's just doing a phenomenal job. I mentioned him during my parliamentary contribution yesterday, and we just so appreciate this thing that you're doing in South Florida for the Bahamas.
Super. We're exciting. Here. We're here with the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, Iram Lewis. I am so glad to see you here. I am a big fan of the Bahamas, and I want to ask about Bahamian sports culture. But before I do that, I got to tell you something. You were in the Olympics running what I think is maybe my favorite event. That 4x100, I think it's one of the most exciting events in all of sports.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to be tough. That is a real man's race. When you're done with that race, you know, one time you can pace yourself. Now it's an all-out sprint. And when you finish, it's like it's a come to Jesus moment. You feel it. But I thank God for the talent that He has reposed in me, and you know, I just use it to elevate myself and my country. With respect to baseball and the culture of sports in the country, we have a very rich history, dating back from the 50s. The Bahamas has produced some of the most phenomenal athletes around. And yes, a lot of it was done in partnership with the United States of America, because a lot of our athletes, even though homegrown and trained in the Bahamas, a lot of us, through tertiary education, through scholarship, and U.S. coaching, we improve on our talent and became even better. So there was a consistent partnership. And South Florida being right at our doorsteps, a lot of our athletes train in South Florida. So we are indeed grateful for that. And we have right now playing professional sports in basketball, American football, of course, baseball, the world over. And they are doing just great things on behalf of the Bahamas. We see sports as a way to promote our country. We see sports as an avenue. It's a platform to gain, like I said, tertiary education. And right now, to earn a very, very good living.
I love it. It's interesting. There's, you know, there's certain countries that punch above their weight in many ways. Yes. And the Bahamas, I think in so many ways, punches above its weight. It culturally, I was talking earlier about, like, here I am. I'm a 51-year-old white guy. I love Papa Smurf. I love Junkanoo.
I love Punk Fritters.
You see some Junkanoo tomorrow night.
Yeah, Saturday night for sure.
Exactly. So glad you're here. And it's interesting because I often, one of the things, I'm a lawyer here in town, and I'm really big on, I love youth sports, and I see it as being, whether you like it or not, when you're an athlete, and I'm sure you had this pressure, you are a role model. And, you know, when I would fly in out of, you know, Grand Bahama, Marsh Harbor, you know, there'd be the picture of all those, of all you Olympians. I'm sure I saw you on a poster, right? And yes, emphasizing, sir. You know, not just the athletics, but the sportsmanships, the citizenships, the, you know, you guys really push that as, you know, sports as something bigger than just pure sports.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right. And the thing about it, like Saunders right now, even though he's in sports, when we leave our country to go internationally, we know we are ambassadors for our country. So we do our best, because even though I participated in several Olympic games, several world championship games, I never wore my name on my shirt. It's always the Bahamas. So I represented my family, my community, my island, and by extension, my country. And you know, one of the things in our, one of the part of our national anthem, so keep your banners waving high. And we always try to keep it waving high by being positive and by setting the pace for those that, well, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Real giants who really opened doors for us. And while we carry the baton, we are to be responsible and of course, create the pathway or keep the pathway going for those that are to follow. So the national pride is extremely important to us. And of course, we have a very competitive spirit. Junkanoo is not a contact sport. Junkanoo is simply a cultural arts. And you won't believe it. When those teams get on Bay Street or in Freeport, they go for it. It's like, it's all out. Competition, bragging rights, and of course, having that championship ring on your finger, raising that banner. You know, I said yesterday in my contribution, and I grew up being a Laker fan. I'm not ashamed to say that. Of course, the Miami Heat right now, love the Miami Heat. The Lakers got knocked out in the first round of the NBA playoff by a team that is headed by a Bohemian, DeAndre Ayton and the Phoenix Suns. So it's a good trade-off. You know, the Lakers got knocked out, but a Bohemian in that game. So it's a good trade-off. And as the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, you know, we accept that. And just that's just the way we like to conduct ourselves. But again, we are grateful to Eternal God for the natural talent. And we are grateful for the partnership that we formed with America, whether it's South America, whether it's Georgia, and whether it's California, we put our stamps all over the United States of America, and you've opened your arms, you've embraced us. We got good coaching, we get good chiropractic training, we get good gym work, and of course through the partnership, we just get on top of the podium and hold those championship rings up because of our partnership, and we really appreciate that.
I love that. I want to jump on one thing. It's interesting you say that. You just reminded me of something I hadn't thought of in a while. What you guys call that, the race, is when all the kids from all over the country go to Nassau. Is it Speed Weeks? Do you call it Speed Weeks?
We do that. With Carifta Week. Yeah, we do have a Speed Week, but Carifta is Carifta Week or National Championship Week.
And I've been like, you know, I'd be in Marsh Harbor, and on the evening news, it'd be like all the Marsh kids, you know, that made the finals and go there. And you made me think of that competitive spirit, because here's these little kids. Like, how young are those kids? They're flying over to Nassau to race.
Yes, even to race or to swim. We have the National Swim Championship coming up next week, and the Bahamas has dominated the Carifta Games in swimming over the last 5 years. It goes on and on and on. And again, one of the things that I really give credit to also is that the athletes are very disciplined. They're very mannerly. And here's an important nugget. The parents are very active. The parents come to the track. They go to the swimming pool. They go to the basketball gym. They go to the arenas, and they support. And the kids, knowing that the parents are there to support them, they're more mannerly. You want to make mom and dad proud. You want to make your godparents proud. And believe it or not, the younger kids, when we have the events for the younger children, mom shows up, dad shows up, godparents shows up, aunt shows up, uncles. So the stadium is always full. And it's because of that good parental support and the community support what makes them so, so good.
Right. Awesome. You know, that reminds me, I watched the interview that Gabby Sanchez did with Jazz Chisholm. And he was talking about his grandmothers and their influence. Yeah. One of his grandmothers being a professional softball player. And that's how he got how he got into it. But it was always a family thing, that the culture was just built around family support and everything. And he couldn't thank them enough for that. And the guy, listen, he might be flamboyant on the diamond, but he is one of the most humble people I've ever listened to give an interview.
Oh, he is very humble, but when it's showtime,
I love it. He shows out.
He definitely shows up for sure. Yes, so I want to talk about a couple of the prime minister, and I'm going to walk him down memory lane. But back when he was at Tuskegee, 1988, personal best in the 100 meters, 10:20.
Yes.
Yep. And then I saw a wind dated one at 9:95, but I don't understand how could it be wind dated? It was windy that day, or they had a fan.
Yes, on. It was the allowable. It was just slightly over the allowable wind limit, and I believe, according to one of the reporters at that time, that was the fastest time run by any Bahamian. But to me, I never really took track and field that serious. It was never a big deal to me. I had athletic scholarships and I had academic scholarships. And I chose to go the academic way because there was a prize that I had my eyes set on, the American Institute of Architects Gold Medallion for Design Excellence. And that was my focus, to that when I walked down on that graduation day in Tuskegee University, no matter what, I was going to be the winner of that award. So I didn't want to be distracted by football, track and field, by the girls, by the fraternities, anything. I just wanted to stay focused on that. And to God be the glory, at the end of the day, I was able to walk away with that award, and I brought it back to the Bahamas. And again, I'm one of those freak of nature because I made my first Olympics, not as a teenager, not even in my 20s. I was 31 years old when I made my first Olympics. Amazing. And again at 35. So yes, that was some crazy things happening there. And I say, well, you know what? What if I started earlier? But you never know. Things happen for a reason. And where I'm placed now by Almighty God is that I came from being a junior athlete to a senior athlete, collegiate. I did it on the intramural level. And then I became a national team member. And after that, I became a sports administrator because I wanted to give back. I became involved in administration of sports in the Bahamas. First of all, track and field, and then the Olympic Games. And then now I stepped up as a member of parliament, parliamentary secretary, and now the minister. So I hit every rung of the ladder so I could identify with the athletes from start to finish.
Awesome.
Oh, you got jammed up. Oh, we got
He's still there. He's still there. So, Minister, I have a question. So, before you got appointed or named to the Ministry of Youth, Sport, and Culture, you were the spearhead of the fixing the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, the rebuilding process. And I think speaks to the resiliency of the Bahamian people. But what's something that you learned from that experience that you're bringing into the sport, youth, and culture aspect of the ministry?
That wherever there are weaknesses, you make best efforts to strengthen it. Dorian did not make us weak as a country. Dorian exposed our weaknesses. It showed the weaknesses that we had in construction, the weaknesses we had in building control, in our building code system. It showed the weakness that we had in the inspection and management of construction. So now we need to tighten our belt and make sure that all of those gaps are filled. Similarly, in sports, in administration of sports, there are some missteps. There are some weaknesses that I'm now discovering, and we are making best efforts to tighten those loops, to close those loops in. You want to make sure that our athletes are properly prepared, that they are given the best opportunity to perform at their optimum. And then beyond that, what happens to the athlete after they would have retired? Or should something happen along the way? At the end of the day, you know, if you're injured or once you retired, that's it, you're done. What do they have to fall back on? So we have to look at foundations that will protect them, endowment funds, insurance, putting it in place to ensure that these persons who would have given their all, sacrificed their bodies for this country and even your country, that somewhere down the line, because if you think about it now, there are some ex-football players, Commonwealth American football players or NFL players, basketball players, Bahamian athletes who have fallen by the wayside. You see them on the streets, and when they was on top of the world, they was on top of the world. And now they have nothing to fall back on. So we those who benefited from their talent as fans and as administrators, we now need to find a way to protect them down the road. And I think it's very important, it's very critical that we do that. And I'm happy when I see former athletes now getting involved in sports administration, getting involved in insurance companies, and creating endowment funds for our retired athletes to fall back on. Very important.
You know, Minister, I want to throw something out to you. I grew up in Canada. Grew up playing hockey, and it's interesting. You just made me think of something about like this idea of giving back. So one of the things that Canada does, they have college athletics, but in hockey, the goal is to play professional hockey. And the way that they do it is if you play, they call it major junior, but from the age of about 15 to 20, you have a 5-year period. You can compete in this level where they sell tickets and they make money off of you. Well, in return, right. Minister, every year, if you start one game during that year, you get a full college scholarship, room and board.
Wow.
So if you come out, if you do your 5 years of service and you don't make, you know, you don't make the big show, well, guess what? You're going to 5 years of college, you know, all paid.
Well,
and I throw that out as an idea for you because, you know, here's these Bahamian athletes giving their heart and soul. And it, like you, almost like you said, like enriching us culturally, monetarily and everything. Right. An idea to give back to those kids to make sure they get a chance to get that education.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think on the global level, even in the United States of America, I went to college in the States. And, you know, I mean, I'm touching on your business now, but I think it's relevant because we do have also Bahamian collegiate football players. At the college level, the fan base is greater. Those athletes bring in a lot of money for those institutions. Football, basketball, in particular football, those athletes punish themselves. They sacrifice their bodies. And if they don't make it to the NFL, they don't graduate, they have nothing to fall back on. There's a lot of banging. There's a lot of physical stress and trauma that these collegiate athletes go through. But they cannot benefit from it anyway financially. And if they don't make the NFL, they don't graduate. Something happened along the way. They're injured in college. It's done. And so we have to find a way to fix that too. It is my belief that we should figure a way to make sure that they are protected down the road.
Well, that is awesome. And I got to tell you something, no offense, Minister. I feel like I'm ready to walk through a brick wall after talking to you. I am pumped up. But my favorite Bahamian stand sitting next to me here.
That's right.
Sunless.
He's a good guy. He is a good guy.
Greatest export from the Bahamas.
That's it. So, Minister, I was a couple weekends ago, I was up in Port St. Lucie watching USA baseball in the Tournament of Americas to make it to Tokyo. What are some of the Bahamians that are going to be competing in this Tokyo Olympics, and what sports do you anticipate them being?
Mainly right now, track and field has been our bread and butter. We've tried rowing. We had one or two athletes went over to try judo. We've had persons who've qualified in boxing in the past, but right now we do have a lot of track and field athletes. And we, of course, you know, we have Shawnee Miller and Stevie Gardner. They're ready to go. So right now it is basically track and field. We are excited about that. We believe that as long as they stay healthy, they will make it. We have not been able, because of COVID-19, to put our best relay teams together. Last week, they attempted to qualify for the Olympic Games by number, by world ranking, and they fell a bit short because the conditions weren't right, and they were pretty much running against themselves in one or two of the races. But there's another last chance meet, and I do believe that when their back is against the wall, we give them the opportunity, they certainly will qualify, and we'll be well represented. And I'm sure that the Bahamian team, once they go there and remain healthy, they will come up with some hardware. They will certainly come up with some hardware. And getting back to your early, to the favorite Bahamian, here's one of the things. Sonis is one of my favorite Bahamians too. But and not because he's here. Here's what I appreciate about Sonis. And there are others like him, but Sonis is very close to me. Sonis left the Bahamas. He went to the United States of America, got his education, is gainfully employed. He could have walked away and just said, let me build wealth. Let me be concerned about myself. But Sonis makes himself available to the Bahamas at all times. He's adopted schools in the Bahamas, adopted programs in the Bahamas. He go out there and he agitate to get funding for programs in the Bahamas, things that he doesn't have to do. There's no contract that said he must do it. But out of the goodness of his heart, he's consistently there. And we met a few years ago, and you cannot tell me that we didn't grow up as brothers from way back then. But again, he's the type of Bahamian, the type of persons that we love to empower. And I guess out of the goodness of his heart, he realized that prayer is important in his life, like Jazz Chisholm said also. And Sunless, even though he's not making the millions from sports or from business, whatever he has, and whoever he can reach out to on behalf of the Bahamas, he's doing that. So Sunless, kudos to you, my brother. I hope that you continue to keep on doing what you're doing, and may God continue to bless you.
Yes, sir, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's all. We do. All kidding aside, we do love Sunless, and Sunless is the example of a public servant, and he is a guy. Oftentimes, I think about, like, you know, I'm active in my church, and you know, the minister it's a position where you give. And Sunless, all day long, people are calling him with problems, right? Sunless is, I'm sure you're the same way, right? It's a big emotional commitment, because people ain't calling Sunless because things are going great. They're calling Sunless because they need help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, I'm in politics now. So imagine every call. And the thing is, I'm not a politician. I answer every phone call myself. My phone number hasn't changed. And I often say, I'm not a politician. I'm a people-tician. I know people. I know people's problem. So I guess I suck at politics, but I try to make it at people. So I always refer to myself as a people-tician.
I love it. I've never heard that term
I've
before.
Never heard a politician
I love
say
it.
He sucks
a
at people. Politics.
And I suck at politics. Yeah,
I'm a people-tician. I know people.
I love it, man. It's so, I got to tell you something. It's inspiring sitting here with Sunless talking to you. It's awesome. And the story I always tell about the Bahamas is here in Miami, two Bahamian fishermen washed up on the beach. The engine had broken. They wash up on the beach, and some reason the news team's there, and the police show up to arrest them, right, to take them into custody. And the Bahamians are on the news saying, no, like, we just want to fix our boat and get back home. Like, we're not here to stay, man.
Yeah.
And it just made me think of, at the time, I remember laughing about it. You know, the average American, you know, they know, like, you know, the Bahamas is great. And I'll tell you something on a serious note. I took a course in college. We're kind of contemporaries. I went to college in 1988. I'm at Florida State. Okay. Taken a course on politics course on the transition from white minority rule to black majority rule.
Yes.
And it went through each country's, you know, struggle and effort, you know, to bring democracy. And everything was juxtaposed with the Bahamian experience of how that worked out and the success that the Bahamas has experienced.
Right.
The peace,
yes.
You know, I have as many white Bahamian friends as I do black Bahamian friends. And there's something about the Bahamian spirit, I think, that can teach us all about how to get along. And I often say, you know, the problem isn't solved in the Bahamas, but I will tell you when I spend time with the white Bahamians, there are certain aspects of it that are race blind. I go down there, I'm in Marsh Harbor asking for a lawyer. I'm in Nassau. No one says that's the black lawyer, that's the white lawyer. It is in business, it's colorblind. I will tell you that.
Yes, sir.
And that speaks volume to who we are. And even in politics, you may have the husband pulling for one party, the wife right in the same was pulling for the next party. But at the end of the day, they realize that they're family. We have cousins, we have best friends on opposite sides of the political divide. But guess what? When the campaign trail goes on, yeah, we are at each other. But here's what we realize. Your opponent is not necessarily your enemy. We need to understand that. Somebody who opposes you is not your enemy. And I believe the majority of us recognizes that. Because at the end of the day, we all must live together as one. And believe it or not, after the elections are over, the loser, the winner, everybody get together and have a good time. You know, the government must carry on. And we try not to polarize ourselves to the extent where we get to the point where we treat our opposition as an enemy, because the game is sometimes to win. But we are always, in my book, again, not being that experienced politician, I try to do it the right way. I learned the trade. I don't know the tricks of the trade. So at the end of the day, I may not end up with the best case scenario on my behalf, but on behalf of the people that I struggle for, I will do my best. And no matter what, I, like I said earlier, I have best friends, great friends on the opposite side. But I realize not because they oppose me mean that they are my enemy. Because at the end of the day, we all are fighting for a better Bahamas. And that's just the spirit that we have.
I got to tell you, that's so inspiring. I'm a little embarrassed as an American because we need more of that spirit here, right? You know, like yeah. I wish I could put that directly into our veins, that spirit, and get us back to that thing. Because I will tell you personally here, you give me the staunchest Republican, you give me the staunchest Democrat. They all want the same things, a good future for their kids. They may disagree diametrically about how to get there, yeah. right? How much government involvement, free enterprise, right. you know, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they truly want the same thing. And I think we've got to remember that. So I appreciate your message.
I have to remember that. Yes, I have to awesome. Remember that. Yes.
Awesome.
But will I see you guys tomorrow night?
Yeah, I got to ask. It's Saturday. But Minister, where's Sunless taking you to dinner after all those kind words that you mentioned about?
Here's what I'm going to do off air. I want you to send me some recommendations. Send me the best restaurant, not that he would choose, that you would choose on my behalf. How about that?
Perfect. We're going to do that. Perfect. And Minister, I hope to meet you in person on Saturday night with my family. And we are so excited about this. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're pumped about Jazz. He's the spark plug of the team, and he's the catalyst of us doing well. So
I know you follow it, Minister, but I've been saying since spring break, there is no more exciting player in baseball than Jazz Chisholm.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. He has taken the league, he's taken America by storm, and it's only going to get better for him. And the attitude he has, that humbleness. My wife saw him the other day, and she, you know, he's there with his blue hair covered in gold chains, and my wife's looking at him,
and he starts
talking, and you're like, whoa, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Can't not love him.
Yep. So tomorrow night, we'll probably meet one of his coaches too, Jerome Sands, who's on tour now with a group of young men, and they'll be at the game tomorrow night too. But he's brought up in the Elite Academy, where they're taught to be humble, taught to be respectful. They're taught the value of family, the importance of giving back, and just keeping yourself grounded. Because at the end of the day, you know, you have to go back into the community to live. And you want to be able to be embraced by the people you want to embrace. Also, keep it on the ground. There's no need to be flying in the clouds. You know, we all at the end of the day, we are all human beings. So let's keep it like that.
I love it. And I know you got more important things to do than talking baseball with us, Minister.
Talking Sunless and you to talk to you guys.
Godspeed to you. No, we're not letting Sunless go. We're gonna stay and hang around with Sunless
for at least 5 minutes. At least 5 minutes. Right. I'd love this opportunity, guys. Being at the game.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate you promoting the Bahamas. I look forward to meeting you guys tomorrow night and we're getting together with Jazz Chisholm and Derek and the rest of the team.
Absolutely. Minister, my pleasure. Great pleasure having you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir.
Thank you. It was good being here.
Okay. All right. You got it there, Denise? There we go. What a great
Sunless. Oh, my
that
God.
Killer.
Yeah, man, you were my favorite Bahamian.
Until now.
Until I meet the minister. Until I meet the minister.
The minister, yeah.
Come on, man.
Seriously.
Thank you for making that happen.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. And it's too bad he missed the part of the beginning where Brad Johnson was on talking about how much they actually put into it and how much they put the Bahamian stamp on that thing.
Yeah.
It's real. It's
national,
not, they don't
them yeah. to the Junkanoo. I mean, they put a lot of time, energy, and effort into this, you know,
to make it authentic
correct,
and real.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and I just look forward to, you know, being a part of it.
Can't wait.
Where did you grow? What island are you from?
Grand Bahama. Well, my parents are originally from Grand Bahama. My grandparents from Haiti. They migrated over here. My uncle came on a track scholarship. He brought my mother and everybody came.
No way.
One by one. My mother went into nursing. I went to school here. I went to Miami Nolan Senior High School. I went to Florida Memorial.
Yep.
So I did all the education here. But through the time that I spent in the Bahamas, I just developed a love and a passion and a commitment to, you know what, at the very least, adopt a cause and come here at least twice, two, three times a year.
Love it.
And so that's what awesome. I've been doing ever since.
Awesome. And tell us about, So I had a house in Treasure. Okay. So I have a lot of friends in Marsh, all the Abaco, which of course was devastated.
Correct.
Yes. And one of the things that the minister touched on is, you know, when it happened, my wife, I remember my wife crying watching the TV because we'd been in the mud. We'd been in these are kind of squatter villages. Correct. Where people had built up tons of homes. And you knew they weren't going to do well in this.
Correct.
And it was devastating. Tell me what's going on down there. What reliefs have you, what's the situation? I know you were involved in some of the relief stuff.
Yes. And still am, you know, I follow the media very closely, in the Bahamas, you know, and it was, where the government started tearing down the homes because they was not properly acquired. And so you had a, injunction just took place by the Supreme Court over there that stopped them.
I remember.
They started doing that within the last 2-3 days. So, you know, so they kind of halt all of the demolition of the Shantytown homes that was affected primarily by Haitian descent in the Bahamas. So you have that. You have the rebuilding efforts. You know, it's coming along slowly than anticipated. Of course, you know what I mean?
And on top of everything else, COVID.
Correct, yeah. Right. So that kind of sort of put, you know, another avenue in there. But that has not stopped, you know, my drive, passion, and care, and love, you know, for the country. I mean, earlier last month in May, you know, I got a donor to donate about 24 computers and 14 projectors. We gave it to the school, 104 kids, special needs. We gave it to the school. And just, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's just a passion, you know, consistently. I make sure I go there and pick a cause and donate.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Love it. Yeah, through, you know, when I, through my church, Plymouth Church in the Grove, you know, a lot of the guys fish down there, do things, and, you know, guys just had private planes, and they were just, you know, no permission, no nothing, just filled that plane with whatever they could put on it and just making trips because just that love of the Bahamas. It's also a little bit of an attitude of, you know, the Bahamas is a playground for some of us, right? We're blessed to be able to do it. And so I think a lot of people felt the need to give back at that point and do it. And so I hope that continues. I hope people remember the Bahamas. I think that, I don't know if people are going this summer. I don't know if the Bahamas even open now. Are they letting people in?
It's open. Like most of the Caribbean islands, you know, you are mandated to take a test before you sort of get in, provide a negative test. And on the way back to the U.S., you have to do the same thing as well. PCR to get in. You upload it to the Ministry of Health. You get a health visa. You pay for the health visa, get it. So they're open for travel. So hotels are open. They welcome and embrace, you know, tourism. And I'm looking to, of course, organize a trip. Hopefully with the around the anniversary of Hurricane to get people there so they could actually touch, feel, and see, you know, see the difference, see the progress, see the hurt, see the pain.
And bring some money. Correct. Like and spend some money. And you know, like that's, I think that's part of it too, is you know, tourism as just you show up and you eat the food and you pay for a room. And, you know, I know the Bahamas is so dependent on that. And we got to get people back over there fishing and going to Bimini and going to Nassau and going to Lutheran and do it.
Yeah. Atlantis, all the good stuff.
Yeah. That's the key. You know, I mean, you said it best, you know, I mean, from the straw market vendors to the, you know, to the foods, you know, it's very important, you know, it's open. They welcome the guests because, you know, it's based on the tourism, you know, that's how, you know, majority of the country thrives off tourism, you know, and that's definitely, it's a plus.
Absolutely. So we don't know who the prime minister or the minister is going to get to see pitch because they haven't released it. But tonight we've got Trevor, tomorrow Sandy, might be a pen night for Bahamian and Culture Night.
No, Saturday night.
Yeah.
You said Sandy.
No, Sandy tomorrow.
No, tomorrow's Friday. Yes. Tomorrow's I'm sorry. Friday. I was
so
a day
Saturday
off.
Is
right.
To be determined, but yep. It could be a pen night or it could be, who knows? Correct. The way we've been swatching, you know, these guys swapped around. Now Danny Castano's back in on the IL. Braxton Garrett pitched. We'll see. We're struggling. We're struggling. But it's going to be an electric night at the ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And there's going to be some conch.
And speaking of which.
My favorite thing. I just take it sautéed, pound it out, sauté it with butter and garlic. That's right. All I need.
Same here.
Yeah, right. Why you got to put all that bread on there? Right?
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. That's awesome. So we'll be there. I'm going to go with you to Armed Services Night.
That's tomorrow.
To, was it Salute and Serve? So,
yeah, tonight's senior night. Now, neither one of us are old enough.
Need a fake ID.
Maybe Mike Miller or Grant could go.
Oh, Grant. Oh, yeah, those Miller brothers.
Yeah, they could go together.
They're so old they get two tickets instead of one.
That's right, right. Exactly.
I'll go as my as Grandpa Miller's caretaker.
We could dress up like the guy. Remember how Johnny Knoxville did the bad grandpa? We could be that guy.
Oh yeah, exactly.
They'd never
bad do. Grandpa.
Yeah.
I'll be there telling him I'm here to change Michael Miller's diaper when he needs it.
That's exactly right. So then with Brad, he gave us the rundown on all the, you know, upcoming stuff because they just released the second half of the season. Tickets go on sale today, and then also all the promotions. So all the Salute and Serve, all the senior days, and then all the ticket
awesome.
Nights. Yeah, so there's a bunch
you,
of really
were
good.
You here when he was saying normally the culture celebration nights are 200 people?
He said 100. I couldn't.
100.
100. They sold
oversold,
2000.
And he's like, he's trying to get the word out, and everyone who's listening, he's getting
go,
the
Brad?
Word out that there's more. They opened up more tickets. They printed more T-shirts.
That's correct.
There's more of a
they
party.
Have an extra large for me.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna get the minister.
No, me and Sonda Steve, we need the shirts with a lot of X's.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of X's in my shirt.
Exactly. At least one for me. Yeah, for
well,
sure.
We need quite a few, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But you know what? It's going to be fun. I went to the Cuban
Heritage Night.
And then after they had a concert,
the Celia Cruz All-Stars. Like, that's the thing. The Junkanoo is going to be awesome. I got to tell you something, dude.
And they're a steel drum band.
I love when that Junkanoo goes. I don't know what it is. It gets my blood going.
Same, oh, yeah, yeah.
Same, like,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to see it. That is going to tear that place up. People are going to be so excited.
It's going
to
be awesome.
And the clothes, you know how loud it is. Like, it's a closed stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
That Junkanoo is going to be tearing that place
it's
up.
It's going to be awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I look forward. I'm excited to celebrate it, you know, just here. Hearing the Junkanoo, you know, eating the food and just, you know, networking with everybody that's going to be there. You know, I look forward to I look forward to that day.
Absolutely. 7:10 start for Trevor Rogers tonight. Looks like we need to get a win before these Braves come back to Miami.
That's important.
That's for sure.
That's important.
Absolutely. What a great pleasure having this guy on and the minister and Brad.
This
Johnson.
Is great. Thank you.
Great
thank
show, you for making, man. Episode 79. Couldn't
thanks
have been
for making
better.
It happen, man.
No, without a
yeah.
doubt.
Great job. All right. Denise, take us out.
D-Nice, thank you.
Let's flip the end.